Bullshit Season 3. I have one of my favorite people, and I mean, like, yeah, probably one of my oldest friends, but also, like, favorite people on the show today, Mr. William Corey Stark.
William Corey Stark in the house.
What's up, my man?
Man, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it.
So, just a little backstory. I was actually at Corey's house, I forget, however many months ago, and we had, like, a badass podcast episode. But I think it was at that time, the way I was looking at the podcast, it was, like, super serious. And when I say serious, we just talked about a lot of different topics and, like, deep a lot things. Of dangerous, deep shit. But now I'm at the point where I'm just trying to have fun with it. So whatever happens, we're going to let it fly.
It's all fun, baby.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good and gold. So what's up, man? How you been?
Man, like I say, if I told you, you would not believe it. And I keep telling people that, and they don't believe me.
But, like, in terms of what? Just, like, business?
Or? In business, for sure. Personal development. You know, like I was telling you earlier, it's hard to sit with yourself.
Yeah.
I'm learning to sit with myself.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. You learn a lot of things. You become so much better in so many ways.
Yeah.
When you get rid of all the extra and just be with you.
But it seems like you've always been able to, you know, I've been in your crib a few times, and it seems like you enjoy, like, the solitude. You enjoy being with, you know, in your own company.
Yeah. You know, I tell people a lot, I'm alone, but I'm never lonely.
Mm.
There's you know, I've been single for probably 6-7 years now.
Yeah. I'm sure you've had flings.
I've had flings. Yes. That's for another show. But, and, you know, I was in a relationship for a little while. And then before that, I was single for 10 years. So,
yeah,
I'm alone.
Yeah.
But I'm never lonely.
Never lonely. Very nice. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously business is good. I mean, you could share, you know, it's up to you specifically or not, just, like, you know, you can be bland with it. So, like, why is business so good right now?
Yeah, in a nutshell, what I started doing, aside from my regular day job, is called the Employee Retention Credit, and I'm helping businesses get up to $26,000 per employee.
Yeah.
For employees they retained during COVID, 2020 right. And 2021 specifically, last three quarters of 20, first three quarters of 21. And you can get up to $26,000 per employee if one of three things happened. You had a decline in revenue.
Yeah.
You incurred a supply chain disruption due to a government mandate, or you were completely shut down by government mandate.
Very
and
nice.
That led me into what we call SMERP, which is an acronym for Self-Insured Medical Expense Reimbursement Program. That's a big old term, big old word.
Yeah.
But essentially, I show businesses how to get a significant reduction in their expenses.
Very nice.
And give all their employees benefits, and neither of them have to pay for it. So,
very
you can
nice.
Imagine, everyone likes free things.
Yeah,
yeah. And everyone likes free money, so it's been good.
And it seems like just with just the ERC, like whenever you mentioned it to me, this was way back. You jumped in at the right time. It's becoming obviously way more popular.
I did. You know, at first it seemed too good to be true.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, you know, but I've done it all. You know, yeah. I'm only 34. I almost said 36. So it doesn't matter how old I am. I look old. I feel old. But I've done a lot of things, some unique things. And they all had a piece of something that I needed for the next thing.
Nice. Okay. So, just continue to grow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I tell people, you know, you're never going to see the fifth or sixth step.
Yeah.
You just need to see the step in front of you.
Yep.
And take that. I tell this story all the time. Boy and the little boy and the horse. All right, this little boy and the horse, they are going home after school. The boy takes his horse to school every day, takes his horse home every day. And one day he decides to take the long way home. And they get to this forest. It's dark by this time. And the forest is really dense. They can't see their way through the forest.
Yeah.
And they don't know where they are. So they're like, what do we do now? And the little boy says, I don't see a way through this. And the horse says, do you see your next step? The little boy says, yeah. He says, well, take that.
Oh yeah, I like that.
So
I'm gonna pocket.
I'm just
that
taking
one.
The step right in front of me as I have a step right in front of me.
Yeah, one step at a time, right? Right. I'm like, how do you devour a whale, right?
That's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, hell yeah. So I definitely want to just jump into just like a little bit, you know, of your background, just a little bit about yourself. Maybe we can touch on just like briefly, just like your family history. You know, just making the audience a little bit more familiar if they don't already know. Just like who exactly Corey Stark is, you know, sure. William Corey Stark.
Yeah. Well, originally, my last name is Domang.
Yeah.
You know, but I changed my last name to honor the family that raised me, my mother's side, who is the Stark family. Very well-known family in Orange, but, you know, for many reasons. If it's for a bad reason, then no, I'm not related to him. But if it's for a good reason, then yeah, I'm definitely related to him. So my great-great-grandfather was Lutcher Stark.
Yeah.
Who the Lutcher Theater is named after. And he started Shangri-La Botanical Gardens, which is a cool story. A lot of people don't know. Shangri-La was named after a mythical monastery, Tibetan monastery in the Kunlun Mountains in Tibet, from a book called Lost Horizons.
Ah, okay.
And the book was so popular at the time, Roosevelt's wife, the president's wife, she named the presidential retreat Shangri-La because she enjoyed the book so much.
Wow. But, yeah, and obviously Lutcher read the book.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And his wife, Nita, adored the book and the story, and that's why they named the garden Shangri-La. Well, yeah. They named it first, apparently. Yeah. Because they reached out to President Roosevelt and told him that he had to change the name.
Wow.
Of the presidential retreat.
Yeah.
So now they call it Camp David.
The 360, right? Yeah.
Hey, that's our name, so you need to call yours something else. Yeah. I don't know how true that is, but that's a story I've been told.
Damn. So how do you, I mean, you know, giving that, you know, your great-great is, and it's H.J. Lutcher Stark, right?
Henry Jacob Lutcher Stark is my great-great-grandfather.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Got you. And, like, given that's, like, just a piece of, like, I guess essentially your history, like, do you feel any type of pressure or anything you have to live by, any code or standard? Because that is such an influential name in this area?
Well, yes. And not all of us do.
Right, right, yeah.
Because, you know, a name is just a name.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't inherit any massive fortune or anything. We just so happened to be born.
Yeah.
Of a family that was wealthy.
Right, and we can't pick and choose like how we're born, or that's, you know, right. Or no, which family we're
right
born into. Right?
Many of us would have probably chosen another family.
Yeah,
but I have seen the effects that it's had on, like, my mother's generation.
Yeah,
it was different for them. It, you know, it's not such a big deal now, our generation.
Yeah,
but for them, it was hard.
Yeah,
you know, growing up as a Stark in a small town where the school is named Stark and the theater is named after their grandfather and things like that. So there was some pressure put on them, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And if I'm not mistaken, like Lutcher, your family has something to do with that cathedral too as well, right? Or
it's Presbyterian, like, Church?
I believe so. Is that what it is?
It's, yeah, like, so right the there. Presbyterian Church in downtown Orange was actually the first building on this side of the Mississippi River that had air conditioning.
Wow. You know what? No. So you sent me a link for a documentary, and they talk about that in the documentary. Yeah. Wow.
Pretty interesting. If you're in Orange and you get a chance to go downtown, definitely stop and see that building. It's I think it's the only opalescent green dome like that in the United States left.
Yeah.
Frances Ann took her two twin girls to the Chicago World's Fair, and they purchased all the stained glass windows.
Yeah.
And then Frances Ann burned every single invoice from every contractor and every purchase that she made to build that church, and nobody to this day knows how much it cost. The granite that the building is made out of is cut out of the same quarry that the Capitol building in Austin is built out of.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No shit. Wow.
Lots of rich history in Orange.
Yeah.
And if you don't know it, you should definitely dive off into it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what, you know, family you're researching or anything, it's Orange's history. It's not the Stark's history. It belongs to all of us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, man, so, I mean, I know you're, like, super solid, you know, like, on the keys, on the piano, right? And I just, like, recently watched, and I think it was Lutcher, like, he was, like, in plank position, and there was, like, a fucking piano on top of him.
Really?
Yeah, and there was, like, a guy on top of him as well playing the piano. Like, we just looked this up. Yeah.
That's one that I haven't seen.
Maybe that's where you get the talent from. I don't know.
Well, the musical talent. Well, see, my great-grandpa, W.H. Stark, he could play anything. He could listen to a song and then immediately afterwards play it in full. But my dad's dad, Jesse Domingue, Louisiana and Texas Musicians Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And he's played every nightclub and supper club and in all of Southeast Texas. So
yeah,
a lot of people know who he is and have enjoyed his music over the years. So, and I think the world of him. He's taught me some incredible things that I'm going to take throughout the end of my life. So.
Yeah, very nice. I think another question I have for you, I mean, being that, like, I consider you, like, a dear friend, how do you continue to just, like, live in this hemisphere in which, like, you don't allow, I feel like, and this is just my opinion, you don't allow the outside world, especially of today, to influence who you are as a person. What I mean by that, you dress well, you know what I'm saying, you're well-spoken, well-versed.
Thank you.
You don't allow just, like, this outside youth, if you will, to, like, dictate who you are as a person. So how do you continue to live this way? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it comes first with the understanding. I didn't always understand this, but everyone has a different version of you in their head.
Yeah.
Right? So you even have a different version of you in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only place that that version of you exists.
Yeah.
So knowing that, I can be whoever I want to be.
Very true.
Because everyone else is going to have a different version of me.
Right. And I guess once you understand that, then you sort of just embrace, like, the individuality.
That's right. Because everyone's just people.
Yeah.
Right? We're all just people. Jesus didn't die for me more than he died for you.
Right. Hey, some people think otherwise.
That's fine. They can think that. That don't make it true.
Yeah.
But, you know, knowing that I can stand up in front of a crowd of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And give one speech, every single person will feel differently about it because they all have a different version of me in their head.
Yeah, very true.
And so I can be who I want to be every single day.
Yeah.
And I am who they need me to be in their head every single day too.
Mm, got you. Yeah, and I guess if we're like, you know, if and just in our heads, if we're being who we want to be, you can either like it or dislike it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like, you have to embrace.
You get to assign whatever meaning you want to it.
Yeah. And,
you know, that was a huge thing for me, man. I was taught, I was lucky enough to be conscious enough at a point in my life where I heard something and this changed everything.
Yeah.
I was told, it's as simple as this. You get to picture in your head what the best version of you looks like. Your best version of you. Not who you think you should be.
Right.
Right, not who other people think you should be, who you are.
Yeah.
What is the best version of you? And then you literally just get to start being that person.
Yeah, yeah.
It is like that.
And I'm pretty sure it was you that told me that. You were like, think about the best version of yourself. You know what I'm saying? And like, how are you going to get there? Because it's always like the how or the why, right? And that was another thing you brought to my attention. You know, because we think about that, and just due to social media and shit nowadays, it's like instant gratification. We want to be there, but we're not willing to take that journey.
Yeah, you know, everybody gets the highlight reel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We get to see the best of the best.
Yeah.
But not what it took to get to the best of the best.
Right, right.
The downfall. We're all just as guilty. We don't want to share the struggle.
Of course not.
We want to share, you know, what came after that.
Yeah, because the struggle is not enticing, right?
That's right. No, it ain't no fun.
No.
I'll tell you right now, it ain't no fun.
Yeah, it's
I've been through all the struggle.
Yeah, it's not appealing.
No, it's not.
And I guess just to segue into just like the world, the way of the world today, like, how do you feel about it? Just like the current climate of, just say, our country right now.
I have little and a lot to say about that. You know, everybody is concerned about what's going on in this country, about the heart of man,
yeah,
if you will. But I implore everyone to remember that for the most part, everyone's good.
Yeah.
People are good. And if you turn your damn TV off and go outside and talk to your neighbor, you'll figure that out real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the previous guest before you, we talked about it. Like, I think if people stop watching, like, these media outlets, we have a processor in our phone, right? So you can learn and watch whatever the fuck you want on your phone.
Right.
But at the same time, if you're already biased, you're just going to search for that biased shit on your phone.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to be open-minded and look at both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, you're already attracting what you want to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's sort of just like, it's like a buffet style. Like, you sort of just take what you want, you know, and when it comes to your phone or computer or tablet, you know, the TV is just like super, it's like dictating whatever the hell, you know, they're talking about. So CNN, Fox, you know, whatever it is. And I think the older I get, the more I'm becoming like in the middle, like a libertarian in a sense, because I thought I was like far right because I'm getting older, but no, I think it's more so like
you came to your senses.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. And would you, like, you don't have to classify, but like, would you
I'm consider- a libertarian.
Yeah. All right.
I'm a libertarian. I was even the Orange County libertarian chair.
Yeah.
And I'm a libertarian for one reason, because I believe in limited government and maximum freedom.
Yeah.
I believe that government shouldn't be involved in our lives. If they have to be, then it should be in the most limited way possible. You know?
Yeah.
If you're gay, I think you should be able to smoke your weed and have your guns and, you know.
Yeah.
And the same goes for if you're straight or if you're in love with broom handles, for all I care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. It's none of my damn business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish everybody lived or just like viewed life that way. You know, I just think we're at a point in society nowadays where like there's just like a certain side that's just like taking over, you know, our country. And it's just not, you know, if you look at it 10, 15 years from now, it just seems like we're just on the decline. You know, like it's not good.
Yeah, well, and if you look 10 to 15 years from now, we are on the decline. But there's so much to be grateful for right now in this moment where our feet are.
Yeah.
What does it matter what's going on 10 to 15 years from now? That's not real yet. The only thing that's real in this world, the only thing, is right now.
Right.
Before this moment, 2 seconds ago, it already happened. We can't go back there.
Right.
After this moment, 2 seconds past this.
Yeah.
We can't get there yet until we're there.
Right, right, right.
So we're only right here. So let's just be where our feet are.
Right, right. So you like to live in the moment.
You have to.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to, but you're either going to be anxious living in the future, or you're going to be depressed living in the past.
Very true. Very, very true. I like that. So besides piano, like, what else do you like to do? Because I know you work your ass off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what else do you do when you have free time?
When I have free time, I love, you know, my baby sister, Casey, who you know.
Yeah, yeah, I know Casey.
As a little boy and a little girl, I absolutely adore spending time with them. My oldest sister, Kristen, as a little boy, Cadence, and I love spending time with him.
Yeah.
And I love spending time with my grandparents. Yeah. You know, we're on borrowed time with everybody.
Yeah.
So, and then I love shooting guns. I love blowing shit up.
Yeah.
I like putting holes in the earth. I'm a worm. Bow. I'm a worm killer. I love to hunt.
Yeah.
Just being in the great outdoors and learning. I was, again, fortunate enough to be the right person at the right time to ask myself, why do I do what I do?
Yeah.
And many people aren't lucky enough to be in a position to ask themselves that.
No, absolutely not. And man, I think right now, I think we're just worried about the wrong shit. When I say we, I just mean like just the general, you know, mass society.
Yeah.
We're worried about the wrong things.
Like, what's the right things to be worried about?
Family, just living a good life, friends. But when it comes to that, what that consists of, it's like literally just, you know, we I feel like everybody has naturally like a moral compass, right? Like the right one. Yes. So you know you have to wake up, brush your teeth, pray. I pray, you know, tell your mama you love her. You know, if you go in a grocery store, a convenience store, and you take something without paying for it, it's wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we know these things, but I think we get so distracted by the wrong things, social media, keeping up with the Joneses, you know, that we don't live by that moral compass.
Yeah. Well, we all have the moral compass, I think.
Right. I think it's like embedded in us.
It is. Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You know, atheists, they don't believe in Jesus, but not every atheist is out there raping people.
Yeah.
They're not raping people because they don't believe in Jesus. They're raping people because they know they're not raping people because they know it's wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So just because they're not believers in Christ like I am doesn't mean they don't have the moral compass.
Yeah, very true. Very true. So when it comes to, and again, I guess it's like a touchy subject, but when it comes to religion, you think we're all worshiping the same person, but like we just do it in a different way?
No, I don't think we're all worshiping the same person. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven.
Okay.
Nobody comes to the Father but by him. That's my personal belief.
Yeah.
And I believe that because it is so.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, what would you say to like a, I guess not Buddhist because that's a philosophy, not a religion, but just like someone that's worshiping like another God. Like how would you know what I'm saying? Say they're born into that.
Yeah.
So like how do,
like, so how they're, do we get they're worshiping there? Another God because they're born into that?
Yeah.
See, I believe in putting thoughts on trial. If I have a negative thought about myself, for instance, in my head now, I automatically go, hear ye, all rise in the court of, you know, the Honorable Judge Corey Stark.
Yeah.
We're here to hear the case of negative thought and Corey Stark.
Right.
So let's say the negative thought is, you're not a nice person.
Right.
Okay. Well, I have to present myself with evidence now.
Yeah.
That I'm not a nice person. Factual evidence. And I don't give a shit about what my opinion is.
Yeah.
That is null and void. It goes out the window. I have to ask myself, what are the facts?
Yeah.
That you're a nice person.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yesterday you held the door open for a lady that, you know, was growling at you.
Yeah.
You know, that was a nice thing to do, even though she was a bitch.
Yeah.
And then, what are the facts, if any, that support that you are a nice person? Well, have people told you that you're a nice person? Yeah, people have told me I'm a nice person. Well, has anyone done anything for you because they say you're a nice person? Yeah, people have done things to me because they say I'm a nice person, and that's the only reason they did anything for me.
Yeah.
So the facts overwhelmingly support that I'm a nice person. Yeah. Now the trial's over.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's just like, okay, say you're born into like an alternate like religion, if you will, and you use that same logic and you put someone on said trial, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel like they would like feel guilty about like, or just like convicted?
I do feel like they would feel guilty for going against what they were born into.
Yeah.
If that's what you're asking.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, and I'm just asking.
Because I felt guilty when I doubted my faith.
Okay. Yeah, and see, I guess I didn't look at it from that standpoint. Because, I mean, sure, you know, obviously it's opposition, right? So they would, like, put us on trial for being Christians.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and believing in what we believe in.
Right. No, more often than not, they don't put us on trial. They burn us at the stake.
Yeah, for sure.
God bless them.
Yeah, I guess it is what it is.
So, but no, it's not unreasonable to me that someone is born into another faith and they believe what they believe because everything they've ever been told is this is so.
Yeah. And so that's all they know.
How would they know anything otherwise?
Right. Know? Yeah. I mean, you got
to
be
that's our be that's my job. That's my job as a believer of Christ is to
teach,
share that.
Yeah. You know? Or share that. Yeah, for sure.
You know, there's a Jesus Christ, he loves you. He wants the best for you. You got to believe in him. You got to confess your sins. You got to be baptized by water and you can spend eternity with him.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that being said, I guess we could like segue into like, how do you feel about the And we sort of touched on it, but just like the future of this country, because that's what matters, right?
Yeah.
Like, because we live here.
Well, I don't know. I don't think the future matters so much. I used to.
Right, right.
And then, you know, then I used to think.
That's anxiety.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And buddy, nobody's experienced anxiety like I've experienced anxiety.
What do you mean by that?
For years, it robbed me of so many experiences.
No.
You know, if whoever's listening to this, when they listen to it, know that I was the person at one point that felt such intense anxiety that something as little as a friend calling me and saying, hey, a couple of us are over here hanging out. We'd love to have you come.
Yeah.
You know, enjoy our company and us enjoy yours.
Yeah.
And anxiety in my head, I went, yeah, but what will they think of me when I get there?
Yeah.
What I'm wearing, what I look like,
right.
The way my hair is combed.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to overcome things like that, just like anyone with anxiety understands.
And I think, like, just touching on anxiety, I think you mentioned this to me before, like, it would take you, like, a long time, or you never, like, public speaking, but whenever I have, like, my opinion on you, I'm like, fuck, he could talk in front of 20,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still my biggest fear. Public speaking is still my biggest fear. Absolutely. Crippling fear. So was heights,
yeah.
And I jumped out of a plane 3 times. I only did it the first time because an 83-year-old woman jumped out right before me.
Yeah.
And my big ass wasn't about to be the last one to jump out of that plane. I wish an 83-year-old would jump out in front of me and me not go after. All right?
Yeah, for sure.
So what I learned was you have these feelings, you have these emotions that will rob experiences from you.
Yeah.
And then you do those things with them anyway.
Yeah. Just get over it, right?
You have anxiety. Great. Do whatever you're anxious about with it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't matter. I mean, again, like, you're an old friend. But, like, even this interview or, you know, this podcast, and previous podcasts, I get nervous as shit every podcast.
Yeah.
For no reason. You know, I can know the person really well.
It's natural human response. I mean, we have anxiety, natural anxiety.
Yeah.
So that we know whether or not we're being socially awkward.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
So someone with Asperger's or someone who's autistic.
Yeah.
You know, they do things that from us, from our perspective, are a little cringy.
Yeah.
Maybe. But they don't experience anxiety, so they don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So we experience anxiety so that we can be socially acceptable in so many different settings.
You think we're just like, maybe, well, obviously overthinking, or we just have like that, like mental awareness of it?
The mental awareness, a portion of mental awareness is anxiety,
mm-hmm.
And too much anxiety is overthinking.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, you think, well, obviously mental health is a huge deal, no matter it's a man, woman, whatever, but like, how do you feel about mental health? Just like in the space of like us being men, you know what I'm saying? Do you think we should share that more often or maybe not? Or
I think men should get a therapist.
Yeah.
And when it comes to sharing what you're dealing with, as far as your mental health goes, shut your fucking mouth and go get a therapist.
Yeah.
Because nobody else gives a shit.
Right. They don't.
They don't.
No.
I'm sorry. No. You know what? I'm not sorry. That's just the way things are.
Yeah.
Go get a therapist like the rest of us have to and speak to someone who is completely unbiased.
Yeah.
And you can't talk to your partner, you know, your female partner.
Yeah.
Because you become less of a man.
Right, right, right. Very true.
Think what you want.
Yeah. No, that's facts right there.
But you diminish yourself in her eyes.
Absolutely. You know, whether, and it can be subconsciously, you know what I'm saying? Like, she can tell you, like, oh, I'm glad you're sharing that with me. But in the back of her mind, she's like, oh, fuck, I got to find me a new.
That's right.
A new boo.
Your job as the man in a relationship, you carry the heavy weights. Right?
Yeah.
Don't lay them down on her.
Yeah.
Get your fat ass a therapist and lay them on that person.
Yeah.
It ain't her job to put you together.
Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you this. What does the term, and it's fucking, it's comical to me, But the term toxic masculinity, like, does that mean anything to you?
It doesn't mean anything to me, but it means something different to everyone I've heard it from.
Bro, like, I don't understand how those two words could be, like, in the same, like, composed together, I guess, you know?
Toxic masculinity. Well, I mean, if you're threatened by someone who is masculine,
no,
I can see how you might think it's toxic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. But I think we're just like, we're at a point in life where like this narrative has been driven so hard in which like if you're being like an actual fucking man, like you're considered toxic.
Yeah, and the biggest problem I think, and I don't believe in problems, so take this with a grain of salt, I only believe in solutions.
Yeah.
One of the biggest problems when it comes to the term toxic masculinity, the only people that are screaming about toxic masculinity are big pussies.
Yeah, which is
nobody had a problem with it until your bitch ass said something. Yeah.
My thing is we can't say shit on the internet. I think the reason I picked the name Brew and Bullshit is because I want people to know. Yeah, like, you know, that's the name of the podcast. So whenever you click on that link, like, that's what you signed up for. Like, Brew and Bullshit.
Yeah.
And not bullshit in a sense of, like, we're not talking about anything of substance, but we're talking about what the fuck ever we want to talk about.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Make no mistake. I preface this whole talk by saying the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and confessing your sins and being baptized by water.
Yeah.
But I cuss a little. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You may not think I'm a Christian, and really, you just never met one like me.
Right, right, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're human.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We're of flesh. So, I mean, yeah, we're going to do, say, and be, you know, things that aren't of God. But at the same time, like, you know, I think when we can just hold ourselves like of value or like of a Christian style basis, we'll be all
right. That's right.
You know, God knows what we're going to do and say before we do or say it.
Intent is what counts.
Yeah. Yeah,
intentions count.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ask the legal system.
So you think our judicial system or legal system is like working like in our favor? And I say our being just like a general society.
In comparison?
Yeah. Like, just like...
It's working for sure.
Yeah.
Is it flawed? Most definitely.
Absolutely. But I think any and everything is flawed.
Yes.
You know, like the elections and all this shit. There's some sort of flaw or like fraud in anything we do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's just, you know, my opinion on it. Just going into like elections and politics, I need you to run for mayor or governor.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Look, in Orange, Texas, we have, in my opinion, the best leadership that we've had in Orange, Texas since I've been aware of leadership in Orange, Texas.
Yeah. Why is that, you think?
Because of their heart for people. They love people.
Yeah.
The leadership we have right now, they want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, they contribute beyond themselves. Paul Birch... Larry Spears, of course, Doobie.
Yeah, we know Doobie.
Brad Childs, you know, those are my three biggest.
Yeah.
I'll advocate for them all day long because they truly do. You know, their actions display that they want to contribute beyond themselves, and that's why they are in the position that they're in.
Yeah, and they're for the people, right?
Their goal is to contribute beyond themselves.
Yeah.
Whatever that means to you, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's beyond them.
Yeah.
And that's what's important in leadership.
I like that. And I said it on the previous episode right before this one. I don't care what anyone thinks, and it's probably because we're from here, but I think Texas is probably the best state in this country. And the reason I feel that way is because we can, like we can express ourselves.
Yeah, Texas is the best country in this this United States.
It's funny you say that because like the previous guest said the same shit.
Well, he was right too.
Yeah. He said, bro, listen, brother, listen. Texas is the greatest country
Greatest country in the world.
In the U.S.
Jason said that?
Yeah.
Damn, he probably got that from me. Or I got that from him.
Copyright infringement. Yeah. Right. No. And, like, if I could go anywhere else, like, just in terms of states, it'd probably be Florida. You know, but then, you know, he roasted me for wanting to go to Florida. He was like, don't compare us to those people.
Yeah, man. You're not near old enough to go to Florida or Jewish enough.
I don't think Kanye would like that statement.
Well, that's all right. It's whatever meaning he assigns to it.
Yeah, so, like, you know, like, fuck, like, forget the country, or, I mean, even the state for that matter right now, but how do you think just moving forward, in your opinion, that Southeast Texas could just, like, progress or, like, go forward? You think we're in a good place?
I think we're in a place.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, that matters. Are we in a good place? It's whatever meaning you assign to it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that for a long time, but you know, to explain that to people, you know, bringing in the theory of mindfulness,
yeah.
I tell people, go wash your hands.
Yeah.
Get you the best smelling soap that you know of.
Yeah.
Turn that spigot to be the best temperature that you prefer to wash your hands with.
Yeah.
And as you wash your hands, feel the sensation of the temperature change in the water and the scent of that soap as it comes up above your hands.
Yeah.
What meaning do you assign to it? Pleasurable or unpleasurable? Well, if it's all the things you like, it's a pleasurable experience.
Yeah.
But you don't have to assign a meaning to anything.
Yeah.
Some things can just be an experience.
Yeah, very true. But I think we sort of lose, or we get, since we're getting so distracted, right? We lose that focus on even something as simple as washing your hands.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like the fragrance of the soap or the temperature of the water.
Yeah,
but we're just going in the motions, and it's like fucking muscle memory. We you're forget, not right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we just sort of forget, like. Just something so simple, you know, it goes so far.
Well, know? That's you know, that's why I'm big on mindfulness for myself. It's a constant conscious effort.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get it all the time, every time. But you can make an effort.
For sure.
To be present yeah. as often as you can.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the things I can't do.
No.
I can't do them. You know, well, my concern is what I can do, when I can do it, and... If I can be mindful and present in that moment,
yeah.
buddy, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do.
100%. Yeah. So, I mean, at a point in time, you were going to start your podcast, right? I need that to happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you still have, like, plans of doing, like, your own podcast?
It kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah.
I would like to do it still.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody could do it like you can.
Do you feel that way for real?
I think you are doing what you're called to do in some form or fashion, no doubt.
Yeah, I do it. I really appreciate that coming from you.
I don't even think you understand at which capacity
yeah.
you're supposed to do it at.
Right, right. I think that's something I'm definitely like still learning. Like for me, again, you know, I started at like peak COVID. So it was just for fun. I picked up a phone. I had another phone. I called my buddy on one phone, and we recorded via our phone conversation on the other phone.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just for fun, but now I'm, like, falling in love with it.
Yeah.
You know, I just have to be more consistent with it. And
what part of it are you falling in love with?
The networking, talking to people, meeting people. I mean, obviously, you and I know each other, but it's nice that I could just hit you up and be like, hey, want to come on the show?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like 80% of the guests previously, I didn't know them before the podcast. They walked in and we had a 3-hour long conversation. Yeah. So it's just the networking for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's really fun. And again, you know, I think it was something that Southeast Texas needed. Now, granted, I won't take anything from other podcasts because obviously they've done great in the area.
Yeah. There's an ask for every seat.
Yeah, but I don't think they have done it like this, in which, like, honestly, you sense it in the name, Brewing Bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want people to come in and be cookie cutter. Right. Like, let's have fun. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? You know, if we're just like trying to say everything that people want to hear, what are you learning?
Right.
Because you already
expected something. We cannot have fun, but nobody will ever know.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
They'll like, never listen.
Yeah. You know, and I told Jason, you know, in the previous episode, like, yeah, man, like people, they can come on and we can disagree. That's fine. But yeah. we're men, right? Or we're men and women, right? So, I mean, we can like get off the pod and like have a drink and have a good time.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
So what's your next steps? I mean, how can you expand this? What is your goal?
I think I can just like continue one consistency, and you brought that to my, you know, attention, but also just continue to just meet people, you know, and initially it was like swinging for the fences. I wanted the biggest guest all the time.
Yeah.
Now, like this season, I wanted to be like Southeast Texas driven. Reaching out to, you know, other business owners, you know, politicians, whoever wants to come on, you know. And I think we can, to answer your question, we can expand just by doing that, being more consistent and just reaching out to people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so do you feel comfortable making a commitment to your listeners right now? I kind of like to put people on the spot and yeah. hold them accountable. Yeah. What kind of commitment can you make to your listeners right now that going forward, they're going to see consistency and value. You're going to be providing value.
I can pledge and promise the listeners that whoever's listening to this will drop an episode every week. So that's what, four and a half episodes a month.
Yeah, I only did that because I know.
Yeah.
If you're going to say it on the show, brother, hell or high water can come and you'll be drowning with that microphone in your hand to get the episode out next week.
Yeah, for sure.
So and you're welcome.
Yeah, you put me on the spot a little bit, but I like it because now like I'm like I got to do it. I'm committed to it. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, that's badass. Yeah, I might chew your ass out after this.
Ain't much left, man. Ain't much left.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So, do you have any like future plans going forward? You know, just for like your life in general, I guess. Anything you want to do or accomplish, or?
Yeah. There are some big things I want to do. I don't want to reveal everything just yet.
You buying a yacht anytime soon?
I'm not buying a yacht, but I was at the Golden Nugget a few weeks ago, and I saw one.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that counts for anything.
Did you get on it?
I didn't get on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a good swimmer, and it was really far away, so.
Is there anything you want to tell, like, I guess, again, just anybody listening or, you know, just anyone out there that could potentially listen?
Yeah, one thing I think is really important for me that has just like gotten me through the worst, right?
Yeah.
There's never a moment. Well, number one, these are the good old days.
Yeah.
And it's always the good old days. Yeah. There's going to be a day in the future where you look back on right now and you're going to say, damn, those were the good old days. And tomorrow, there's also going to be a day in the future that you look back on tomorrow and say, damn,
those are the good old days. Yeah.
It's always the good old days.
Yeah. That's so true, bro. Because like, I mean, I look just back at anything my parents have ever told me, you know, and they've always had times where they like reminisce or they said those exact things. Right. Yeah. You know, and like we're living in the moment all the time. So we don't even think about, you know, the good old days you were just thinking about right now. So it's almost back to your point with living in a moment. It's almost like a catch 22 because you want to live right now. But like it seems like when you live that way, you don't appreciate the good times that have already passed. If that makes sense.
Well, I think you do. I think you do appreciate the good times that are already passed. But right now is the only thing that's real. It's indisputable.
Yeah.
Tell me what else is real.
No, that's it.
Right like here. Live right time. Now. This is all we got.
Yeah.
We're not guaranteed, you know, I've been in the funeral business for several years.
Yeah.
If anybody can tell you, our time is limited, my brother, I'm here sitting in front of you to let you know our time is limited.
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing is gratitude. Gratitude has brought me more than anything else in the entire world, in my entire life. If you can be present, if you can be in this moment right now,
yeah,
because ain't nothing else real, right?
Right.
If you can be in this moment and find something even silly to be grateful about. This chair, for instance, I'm sitting in, it's comfortable. I could be sitting on a piece of concrete. So I'm grateful for this comfortable chair. If you can find something to be grateful for, then you can be here in this moment, and everything is okay, and you're safe.
Very true.
Yeah, there was, stop breathing.
There was a, there was a, I think I sent you, it was a clip. It was Shia LaBeouf, and he said,
love Shia.
Yeah, he said something on the along the lines of, at the in the end, everything's gonna be okay, because if it's not okay, it's not the end.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That was so powerful. It was so heavy.
And if the if it is the end,
yeah,
everything's okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, and that was just super powerful.
Yeah,
super powerful for sure. For sure. We're coming up.
This has been awesome.
Yeah, bro. We're coming up on about an hour. We're like,
damn.
Yeah, already. Yeah. But I mean, I felt like that was going to happen because of you, you know, and you're easy to talk to. This is easy.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been fucking fun. Like, I want you back.
A long time coming, too. We've been trying to do this for a minute. I just send you a contract and everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was mostly my fault, but I know how you roll. So once I saw that PDF, I was like, oh shit, like this is real. Yeah, bro, for sure. But yeah, it's a pleasure, my boy William Corey Stark on the podcast. And again, now I have to commit to an episode every week, you know. And you guys will hear
you
from
ain't
Corey
shit
again.
If you don't.
You guys will hear from Corey again for sure. You know, I'd be very lucky to have you back on the pod.
Hey, man, you know. God bless you. God bless everybody else. Be here where your feet are.
Yes, sir. Yeah, until next time, everybody. Peace.